Episode 45 is dropping. We're five episodes away from 50, which is incredible. And today is going incredibly deep. And the title for this is Overcoming Sex and Porn Addiction and Infidelity by the Groom on a Bachelor Party. Yeah, we're going there, guys. We are going deep. So I've got an anonymous guest today for the reasons that it is a pretty private and super vulnerable conversation about his experiences and challenges with porn and sex addiction and cheating on his fiance at his bachelor party a week ago. And yeah, we connected while in Bali at a men's group, and he shared this incredible, vulnerable situation that I think many, many men and also women go through with porn addiction, because it's just always right there. We talk about how in the past, quote unquote, when we were young, you would have to, like, you know, get a Playboy magazine somewhere, and that was pretty much the extent of it. Now we're walking around with porn in our pockets or on the street, just kind of like, basically we're in Bali here, and he says there's porn everywhere walking down the street, girls wearing literally nothing. And it's so hard, especially if you're in a committed relationship, not to have wandering eyes. And he talks about how him and his fiance, after talking about what he did on his bachelor party, talked about opening up the relationship to kind of outsource the physicalness of their intimacy with other partners. So we go into the option of open relationships. So this is just like a whole can of worms that is super, super interesting and real. I think that there's many people that struggle with this. I was at a men's conference, a men's retreat about 5 years ago. It was a personal development retreat, but one of the speakers they brought in was a basically porn addiction specialist, a coach from Australia named Matt Fraud. And everyone was kind of sharing their struggles with porn, which was really interesting, because this was like a spiritual, like actually like through my church retreat. And they brought this in as one of the topics that I guess a lot of people are having challenges with. But in this episode, you're going to hear just two guys sharing their experiences with relationships. And there are resources. If you are someone who struggles with this, you might want to check out SAA, Sex Addicts Anonymous, Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. They have good support groups, as well as a option is to put some blocks on your computer to block certain websites. So we get into some options as well as far as overcoming the temptation, because your brain is literally like a heroin addict getting these dopamine hits from the release and stimulus that this world offers. So without further ado, we're going to get into the content here. Quick word from our intro and some content sponsors of the podcast, and then enjoy the episode with relationships, episode part three of our mini Valentine's Day segment here. I'm Quentin Carlin, and welcome to the Self-Develop Life Podcast, the ultimate personal and professional development coaching, consulting, and counseling show, where I interview industry experts to help you upgrade and optimize your limitless health, wealth, and lifestyle. Here we dive into a variety of topics such as fitness, finances, faith, family, relationships, dating, divorce, biohacking, business, investing, mindset, meditation, minimalism, religion, spirituality, and success secrets, and many other life hacking tips, techniques, and tools to help educate, inspire, and empower you to live your most self-developed life possible. So if you're interested in any of those topics, go ahead and subscribe to this podcast and YouTube channel, where all these episodes are also filmed and uploaded. Before we get started, I want to give a special shout out to the show sponsors and give you access to some limited time, really awesome bonus announcements to upgrade your fitness and finances. You can access all these tools and other resources. I'll continually add an update on the show website at www.selfdeveloplife.com, along with my other social media accounts. So you can reach out and follow me. I'd love to connect with you. So go ahead and do that. Announcement number one. The world famous 30-day no alcohol challenge is now an official SDL show sponsor, which is amazing because this massive online community-driven program has been featured in Forbes, Entrepreneur Magazine, CNN, that my friend James Swanwick, who is an ex-ESPN sports announcer, created. Look, I took this challenge 2 years ago, 2017 in January, and I committed that I would stop drinking for 30 days. And I felt so good and was so productive that I kept it going, and it's been 2 years. I'm not saying that I haven't had a drink in those 2 years, but I've been 100% sober and hangover free, and it's been amazing. So if you're looking to cut back on your drinking and save money on those expensive bar tabs and have your liver and wallet thank you, go to www.30daynoalcoholchallenge.com/Quentin or simply click the link below in the show notes. And when you enroll, DM me a screenshot on either my Instagram or Facebook account, and I'm going to give you an extra bonus where I'm going to be your sponsor and mentor for that month. That's right. I'm offering a free one-on-one coaching with you to help support you as you take this life-changing program, because basically I want as many people as possible to benefit from it. So use my special link below and begin your 30-day sobriety detox cleanse now. I'd be honored to support you. For more information on that, go back and listen to episode 32, 33, and 34 to hear James's incredible story and the thousands of other people who have already taken this 30-day no alcohol challenge and can create your supportive environment to keep you accountable and help you navigate how to date and be social and go out and not drink. It's amazing. So that's announcement number one. Announcement number two, now that you have all this free time that you're sober for the next month, maybe the first time in months or decades you've ever done that, what are you now going to do with all of your newfound spare time? Well, how about do something productive, like start a side hustle online business? And it's never been easier. Since I've been involved in the e-commerce space since 2007 and have seen countless business models and systems, I got to say, I've never seen one that's gotten the incredible results that one website template has. That is ClickFunnels. Guys, it's massive. If you want to convert your traffic into paying customers, go get your number $1 account trial set up in the link below or on selfdeveloplife.com. And go ahead and check out episode 39 for an overview on how thousands of people just like you are using this easy to use software to sell anything to anyone online. All right. And lastly, announcement number three, I have a 90-day health and wealth coaching challenge for you. I've used the same e-commerce system that I mentioned previously to start a business selling the number one selling CBD essential oil in the industry that is actually farmed out of the US. So if you suffer from any anxiety, depression, joint pain, insomnia, or even cancer or any other serious ailments, this natural medical breakthrough alternative is exactly what you need. And as a listener, I can even hook you up with a free sample bottle by doing these two things in this limited time giveaway. Number one, go leave a 5-star review and comment ranking on iTunes right now about just saying what you enjoy about this podcast. Is it the guests? Is it the inspiration you get? Anything. Just leave a simple, short comment and screenshot that and DM me on Instagram or Facebook, and I will choose a random winner each month. Number two, go ahead and take the 90-day CBD challenge free tour that is in the show notes below or on the selfdeveloplife.com site. And also listen to episode number 35, 36, and 37, where I have doctors and specialists sharing info that will blow your mind about the health benefits of this. Look, like, this is an amazing opportunity, both health-wise, and this might be something that you want to be start promoting on your side business. Because this is not the gold rush, it's the green rush of the booming CBD legalized hemp industry. And no, you don't get high off this. This is medicinal. It's not recreational. And as I said, I don't drink and I don't do drugs. I just see this as an incredibly rare opportunity for you to get on to the ground floor of this brand new market. It's kind of like finding out about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency early, just like I did when I found Ethereum that was like $14 and it peaked at $1,500. It was amazing. So speaking of that, I also have a Bitcoin and crypto course that you can go and download now. It's everything that I've learned, resources, safety, storage, everything you need to know if you want to get involved investing in the crypto industry. And that is along with my new book coming out called Money Hacks. It's a video course and ebook that talks about 25 different ways for you to make more money and save more money. This is what they should be teaching people in school, but unfortunately they don't. So I'm teaching you this here on my site. So to wrap this up, if any of these announcements and resources sound interesting and appealing to you and you want some more info, feel free to book a free one-on-one 45-minute coaching and consulting call with me where we can talk about anything and everything you want. And this is just a way for me to kind of give back and get to know my listeners. Like, I love so much. I'm so grateful and humble that you're sharing and supporting this show. So I want to give back. So I've got my Calendly schedule below. Book a time and I'll give you a call. And that's that. So thanks again for sharing the show. If you haven't shared it with a friend, just go ahead and copy this link and send it out to a couple people or take a screenshot of it and post it on your Instagram. I'm really trying to get more listeners here and promote what we're doing and all the amazing guests that we have on. And speaking of amazing guests, we've got an incredible lineup of shows coming down. So make sure you keep tuning in. So that is it for the business and pleasure is now out of the way. So let's start with today's conversation. All right. Welcome everyone to this edition of the podcast. And we are doing something a little different today, a topic that I haven't covered yet, but it's a topic that I think a lot of people around the world struggle with and don't really talk about. And this is a platform to kind of go deep into conversations that might be uncomfortable and kind of awkward, but necessary. And I met my friend John here at a men's group. If you've been following me on Instagram or following on social media, you can see that I've been going to a month or a weekly men's group meetup here in Canggu, Bali. It's been so, so powerful. And one of the things I really missed about living in South Korea is just like community and connection and conversations that are just deeper than the surface level stuff. Like, oh, hey, how's it going? Oh, great. Everything's great. Blah, 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 blah. This men's group goes deep into just real life situation and real guys dealing with real challenges. And one of them that came up on this past Monday's episode was John was his first time coming to the group. And he was just so open and authentic about what's going on in his life. And the topic kind of went into porn addiction, love addiction, sex addiction, and all these kind of relationship challenges that people in longer term relationships might get kind of not sick and tired of, but kind of bored of the same routine in their physical and intimate relationships and looking to kind of open things up or spice things up and looking for other means to do so. So John, thanks so much, A, for coming on and being vulnerable enough to share your story and your struggles, and hopefully it'll really speak to a lot of other people out there that are having similar challenges but don't have the space to connect and share about that. So yeah,
thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. So if you want to kind of share a bit about your background, you know, who you are, what you're doing, why you're here, and then we can kind of get into the content.
Jeez, who am I? That's a good question. I think I'm still learning, but
we all are, man.
I spent a good deal of my life chasing the dream of being a rock star, and I followed that for a while and then had several jobs, ended up on a miserable one working for a tugboat company moving oil, and that was when my life really, I think, went out of balance. I was married briefly and just found that, you know, the same pattern would kind of transpire where before marriage, you know, it was like I was always hooking up with people. I started looking at porn really young, 12 years old, and you know, I'm sure there's a number of you out there that may have swiped a skin mag from the Barnes & Noble rack and went and checked it out in the bathroom when you were young, when they still had those. That was me. But yeah, so I I started looking at this stuff really young when the internet was like, you know, we're waiting for the clips to load in the basement and dial up internet. And I think what happened eventually because of all that stimulus in my formative years, it kind of wired me to be a sex addict and to look at women not as human beings, but as like something to be objectified, used, and thrown away. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, my relationship history has been a series of just kind of like fuckboy chapters, if you will, and hooking up, doing the deed, and then either ignoring or moving on and finding something else. Because, you know, when you're addicted to pornography, you're just completely blasted with all of this variety of like body types, skin colors, facial features, everything you can think of is out there. And it turned me into like, oh, I need to bring that into my life. Like, I need to bring that into reality. I need to find women to act these scenes out that I like and make that my life. And I was really unaware of it. You know, I just thought that maybe I was a sex addict. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize that porn was something addictive, because, you know, we go through life where you hang out with your bros or your buddies and people are like, oh, everybody looks at porn. You know, if you don't use it, you lose it. You know, it's good for your prostate, all that stuff to fap one out and kind of, it's normal, you know. And there's actually a lot of arguments between in the psychological and neurochemical communities about whether that is like legitimate or not. But, you know, over the last year, after I was divorced and went feral and had a bunch of flings, I met a woman I really care about, and that I wanted something long term with. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but for me, it's like, in the middle of the hookups, a lot of times you kind of get this void that you are aware of all of a sudden, and you're like, wow, this is getting boring, this is getting old, where's the substance, you know?
Right.
So I found that, and the relationship was perfect. It was beautiful. You know, I was still looking at porn on the side, and, you know, there was a lot of good chemistry on all three levels, intellectual, spiritual, and physical, of course. And after a while, just started to taper off with the desire for the bedroom and things. And I was wondering, like, there's a lot of questions in my mind. Like, I started reading books like things in the vein of A Sex at Dawn, you know, where he covers topics like are humans really wired for monogamy? And, well, in the book, mm-hmm. it pretty much goes to say that science says no, really, right, according to animals. But yeah, so this has been like kind of a journey the last year with my lovely girlfriend. And it's definitely tough. You're thinking about kicking the habit and getting control of your life again. Doing a reboot with a partner is really challenging. And I'm hoping that in this conversation we can kind of uncover some of that. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, doing research the last couple of days leading up to this, after we kind of talked about doing this episode together, I found a number of high profile like celebrities that have come out saying that they have struggled with this, and it's just something that's not really mainstream, but it's kind of like this taboo, shameful addiction that I think so many people, and not just men, you know, like I've actually talked with women who have similar challenges around it, especially interfering with their ability to be satisfied with their partner, because what porn does, it creates these unrealistic scenarios and situations that you're like, oh, well, it goes so extreme.
Yeah.
And the thing with porn is that what might have started with a Playboy magazine now ends up in some deep, dark, twisted kind of fetish that is now the only thing can kind of keep your attention, because it just kind of triggers your neurochemistry into wanting more and more and deeper and more kind of extreme scenarios, you know. And that's why the internet is what it is in this, you know, in that niche of porn. And that's why it's like a multi-billion dollar industry as well, because it feeds off that dopamine hit that you mentioned and that constant stimulus for wanting just that rush of adrenaline and release and everything. So I think that everyone can relate on some level, and also has probably had challenges in their own intimate relationships, especially if it's long term, because the longer you're with the same partner, as a lot of guys have shared in our group, that, you know, and just in general, like, you know, a lot of my friends that are in long term marriages or relationships, the sex kind of just goes down. You know, it's just normal that you're just always constantly around the same person and living together and dealing with the stresses of a family and career. You're not really as active as you were maybe in the honeymoon phase. So I think that's when a lot of people kind of reach out for other methods of stimulation.
You're getting that fix, yeah.
Yeah.
What you were talking about earlier is, it's an escalation thing. You know, back in the day, porn was pretty much like a Playboy on the screen. You know, it was mostly stills and the video clips were really bad. But, you know, now with like high quality HD streaming porn, you don't have a chance. I mean, it's the same model that a heroin addict goes through. It's exactly the same because you're getting dopamine. Your brain goes, ooh, I like this. Let's do it again. And the more you do that, the more you're overloading these circuits and turning yourself on and turning yourself into this, like, animal. And with the association of those very powerful images, it's really detrimental to living a life that you have control over, because, you know, it's an addiction that's so easy to fall into because your computer's right there.
Everywhere.
You don't have to go find the drug. You don't have to go anything. It's all right there.
It's so free.
It's totally free, you know, and it's
24/7, one click away. And just thinking about my first experience with it, I'll never forget. I was at a sleepover with my friend at, like, it would have been elementary school. And so I would have probably been in grade five or six. And I remember my friend having a VHS tape that he found. Remember, that was just VHS tapes of his parents. And I'll never forget, it was like this sauna scene. And it was like this couple in a sauna just like going to town on each other. And I was just like, it was the first time I've ever seen anything like that. And I was just like, hardcore, you know?
Did it make you feel kind of sick when you saw it?
Actually, I think that was the first video I ever saw.
Yeah.
But the first, I think, image I saw was these posters, those bikini posters
in Walmart and
like Zellers, that were like these girls. And I would always just go back when we went shopping, I would go and look at like these posters, and like, you know, it'd be like Star Wars, Michael Jordan, and then like Pamela Anderson. And I'm like, wow. So, and then from there, a friend of mine got this deck of playing cards.
Oh yeah, the nudie cards.
The nudie cards. So, and we hid them in like this ravine. So we would go to this, we would take our bikes. It's crazy that I remember this. We would take our bikes. We had biked to this ravine, and we kept them in a plastic bag, like under like this cave of shrubs. And then we would just sit there, and then we would just like play cards with these naked women on them. And then, so it went from that to my other friend keeping a Playboy in his like heater or like furnace system in his room. And then, it's so funny, I haven't thought of this in like decades. And then the video. So those are like my three progressions. And then from the video, I was just like, when it's live in motion like that, it's just like on a whole nother level.
It really is. I can remember the first time that I saw like my first live action porn. It was, I was on a trip to Norway when I was like 13 years old. And we stayed in this hotel, and they have dirty channels in the hotels in Europe.
I just remembered another story also after this.
Yeah. And, I can remember exactly how when my folks went out, I was like, I clicked through the channels like while my dad was like getting ready in the morning or something, and they went out. I was like, I'm just gonna hang back, you know, I'll meet you down there. And it was a Nicky Tyler scene. I don't know if you remember Nicky Tyler, but it was this office scene, and I just remember like the sounds of the bodies slapping together and all of the imagery and like seeing everything happen. Like, I literally felt nauseous, but I couldn't look away.
Mm.
And I just remember being overloaded by that. And throughout the whole day, I felt sick to my stomach. Like, but I couldn't think of anything else. And I mean, that was probably when I was hooked. And like, you know, and then you've got like the onset of like Kazaa and all the download apps from the 90s and early 2000s. And, you know, I mean, I just remember having such a crazy spank folder that was hidden deep in like registries on my parents' computers and stuff. Just going to town, but
yeah, that reminded me. I went on a basketball trip in high school in grade 10. There's like 14 teenage boys in a hotel room together. Like, we all had separate rooms where we all gathered in one room, and we watched Showgirls.
Oh, that was like Saved by the Bell girl.
Yeah, and I remember. It was so embarrassing because when we went to check out of this hotel room, and our coach was there, and then the hotel manager was like, you guys have like a $200 bill for showgirls.
Oh my God.
And because we just had them all going in all the rooms, you know, like we were all just like repeatedly watching showgirls. And our high school basketball coach just went freaking ballistic.
Oh, I believe it.
And it was funny because, like, right after that, two of our guys got caught smoking weed in the bathroom.
Oh, no.
So our coach, he was like this, his name was Mancini. I'll never forget him. He's like this, like, European dude. And he just went fucking ape shit on us. And he threatened to, like, tell all of our parents.
Oh,
oh shit. This just went under.
Yeah, your computer's going to crash.
Oh, no, it's because of the
internet.
The internet went off. Well, I'm glad that we have this one still rolling.
That's cool.
So we're gonna keep rolling here, guys. And I'm if you're watching this, I'm recording on my laptop as well, and I always do double just in case something like this does happen. So we're gonna just keep going here. So that was Showgirls. And yeah, it was a pretty intense introduction to the world of porn. And have you talked to other guys, like friends of yours around this before you kind of shared? Because you kind of came out and you just shared right away.
Yeah.
And it was just so open and awesome because so many people could connect and relate to that.
Yeah, I'm usually pretty transparent with my friends. I have a really hard time keeping things close to the chest, especially like if it's something that's something that causes me anxiety or whatever. Like I've always been really good at just letting it out. But yeah, I've talked to some friends and, you know, some guys here that I've connected with, and I think it takes a certain level of awareness to even acknowledge that you have a problem or a challenge, let's say. I don't really like to use the word problem because it kind of creates this stigma in your mind about yourself, but there's a lot of guys that are challenged with it. There's some really great resources online, and you know, I feel like I'm claiming to be an expert on this. I have no neuroscience background. I have no degree. I'm just an average Joe Fapp that's going no Fapp. So I heard about this movement actually from my girlfriend. She actually steered me towards these resources of nofap.com, Fight the New Drug. There's all these great outlets for resource material where there's a lot of guys that are on there asking for help, sharing stories, sharing tips for how to conquer your addiction, and you know, updating with what's called the reboot process, which is where you take a 90-day no porn, no masturbation challenge.
Wow.
And you're trying to reset those dopamine circuits in your brain and kind of come out the other side as if you've control alt deleted your jerk problem, if you want to call it. And so I started doing that. I'll just share kind of my reboot story. So it was actually, we were living together, and my current girlfriend, and we were staying in Canada for a month, and you know, the intimacy was bad. She was feeling unwanted. She was feeling undesirable. Really, like, her self-esteem was tanking. And this is not, like, your typical woman. This is, like, girl. She's not a girl. She's a woman. She's a lady. She's very self-assured. She's always been very confident, very mature for her age, and very, very self-aware. And, you know, for her to feel like that, it was really painful to see that I had created that, you know, because I was just so involved with this. So like finally we realized I had a problem. I started reading a book called Your Brain on Porn, and that kind of became my Bible. It was like anytime I felt like I was having problems with like the residual imagery from watching so many years of porn, I would go and read the book. And there were like testimonials. There was all this scientific stuff that was easy to digest for someone who doesn't have a science background. And really kept me moving forward, you know. I started my porn fast, and well, my porn reset, or I gave it up July 7th of 2018. And the first few weeks were just such a struggle because, you know, you're not getting that fix anymore, and your brain is just, it really wants to kill you. It's like, I need this. Like, what are you doing to me? Like, you know, it's a powerful thing. So after 90 days, like I said, we ended up in Canada, and it was still not getting better, because what ends up happening when you reset your libido, like your dopamine receptors like this, you have a physiological response too. Because you're so turned on at these high sustained levels of dopamine, it does this oversensitization, and desensitization at the same time. So you're always turned on, looking at all this porn, and then that's the only thing that can really get you aroused.
Right.
So when the time comes to actually be with a real partner, your body doesn't respond. So when you do a reboot, you get something called like libido death or a flatline. Your dick doesn't work.
Wow.
Like it won't respond and you won't want sex. And that was also something that was really bad for rebooting while engaged in a serious relationship, is that there was a lot of like, I would just get really tired. I wasn't in the mood. I really wasn't even trying to think about sex, you know, because I just took a huge part of my life and sexual input out of myself. So, that took a long time to get straightened out. So I did the first 90 days and I thought everything was gonna be fine after 90 days. Well, it wasn't. So when we were in Canada, we decided to do something that Terry Crews I saw mentioned, like he's actually come out to say that he's had a sex addiction problem, and he and his wife were on video talking about how they did this thing called a sex fast, where they took sex out of the equation for 60 to 90 days, and they reset their own relationship, building a better foundation built on like communication and emotional and all of these different, anything that was not sex, they built a stronger connection that way.
Right.
So we tried that too. We did 60 days of that, and there was a lot more desire. We didn't have sex, but we did fool around a little bit.
Yeah.
It was just when it was really bad, because you know, when you take that out of the equation, of course, what you don't have, you can't have, you want.
Yeah.
So we did that, and it was better for a little while. But I think that, you know, 20 years plus of porn just really wired me to like really want this variety. So now the problem was like, this woman that I'd been totally focused on, I was now like starting to like look at other women.
Right.
And you know, if you come to Bali in the middle of a reboot, that's like almost a kiss of death. I mean, there's no modesty here. It's just, it's like there's porn stars walking around. I mean, that's what you think anyway, being an addict. So, you know, it's like,
you just said it's porn in real life when we're having breakfast together here. You're like, this is like porn in real life.
There's
all these girls.
It's just like rice patties behind us, nothing really happening. But
yeah, but over on the beach and it's a whole different scene.
It's true.
Yeah.
So, it's definitely a challenge, but I feel like it's been almost 6-7 months now of not having any kind of like virtual porn stimulus. And I feel like now I'm actually starting to feel normal again. Because it's going to be different for everyone. Some guys that don't have a serious problem will reset pretty quickly, whereas someone like me, who's like almost a lifer, will be, take a number of months to get through it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. And if you want to kind of transition into, if you're open to sharing what you and your partner have talked about as far as potential solutions for creating.
Yeah.
Environments to have maybe an opening up in a relationship or a marriage, and she's not your girlfriend anymore, she's your fiance.
Yeah, it's true.
And you shared some pretty, just real stuff that happened recently, and if you want to go into some of that or not.
I'll go into some of it, yeah. So the problem now was that she noticed that, she's very observant, noticed that, you know, my focus is, or had been on just all the other women around here, and then when it came time to be just her and I, she felt like sexual leftovers, because I'm giving all my energy mentally towards, you know, these other figures walking around. And we talked about a few times having an open relationship, because her intuition was saying, you know, I feel like maybe you need more than just me, you know, so what do you think about an open relationship? And it's a really interesting subject, because I think every guy wants to have like a harem.
Yeah.
Somewhere in their brain, they're like, "Oh, that'd be great, you know, to have just this unending supply of women." And then, but that at the same, by the same token, they don't want their woman doing the same thing. So there's like this stupid double standard that happens, which is one of the things I really dislike about being human. It's that whole ego thing, you know. So we had this talk, and she's like, "I don't really feel like I need to do that, you know, but it's unfair, you know, that you would have all these opportunities and I would not." So I was always kind of like avoiding that, because I didn't even know if I wanted to do it, you know, because like I'm in love with this person, I see this stuff, but like I had two selves at one time that were like, "Oh, we want to go and fuck around," and the other one's like, "No, I'm in love and I'm loyal, and you know, I want to just have a monogamous, stable, you know, a very build a life with somebody, right? And so we had this talk a few times, and it wasn't getting better. And finally, she just didn't give me an option. She said, "We're gonna open this up, and maybe we should just outsource the physical component of our relationship because we have a really good connection elsewhere." So, so we tried to do that, and I made a really horrible mistake last weekend where I definitely went out with the intention of seeing if that's what I needed. Like, I wanted to just see if, like, an open relationship, having another partner was what I needed, because I didn't know. You know, it's like, why am I looking around when I know what I've got is, like, this perfect and ideal woman? Like, mm-hmm. Do I need that? And, you know, of course, the policy was, like, you know, I don't want to know. Fine, you know, if you got to do that, that's fine. I'm going to do it, too. I was like, fine, I submit. Let's do it. So, I experimented and I tried it out, and I literally discussed it with myself. And today has been just an awful day for me in terms of, like, internal feelings. You know, I'm full of anxiety, and I feel just more and more regret as the day goes on. And I can only imagine that it's even worse for her.
Because you just told her last night, correct?
Well, I have a problem with, like, not trying to make something that I've done my fault. Like,
I think a lot of people have that.
Yeah, so it's not like, it's like I tell a version of the truth, but it's kind of spun to where it kind of favors my perspective, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard for me to just say, babe, I fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, I did this, like this, exactly as it happened, without, you know, going, oh, well, it kind of happened like this, and it happened to me, you know, I didn't put the effort in to make it happen, which just isn't true. Mm-hmm. Like, of course, there is alcohol involved and all of that, and that does have an effect on inhibition and judgment, but, you know, it was almost like I had my real self, which is this very wholesome and nurturing and caring person who's in love with this woman, being drug along by this animal brain that was like, no, you need to leave this that way. Mm-hmm. And just the self-analysis the last couple of days has just been really fucked up and uncomfortable, and right now it's unclear if it's gonna survive. You know, I really hope that it does, because I really feel like making that mistake and putting myself in such a terrible position to hurt her and break her trust opened up my eyes. And the fucked up part is, like, it had to get to this point to where I was like, my two selves of the fuck boy and the wholesome self, it's like they finally merged because of this, and I really feel solid knowing now that, like, I know what I want, it's right in front of me, it's always been here, and I'm really upset that I had to go that route to figure that out. So that's been my day.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's a pretty heavy scenario, and I just want to acknowledge you for coming out and sharing that, because a lot of people, especially with it just being so brand new and fresh and raw, to really kind of create a space for sharing that is pretty... I hope that creates some therapeutic healing for you to just share that openly. But I think the one thing that you mentioned earlier that would really be, as you said, if her actions mirrored yours, as she kind of mentioned that now she kind of wants to try it.
Well, now she does, because she's upset.
Yeah.
And I think that's totally fair, you know, like, I deserve that. And, you know, I'm a little bit apprehensive about what that's going to do to the connection.
Right.
I really hope that we can move through that. But yeah, I mean, if you do have a partner out there and you are struggling with porn addiction, the best thing you can do is just pull the Band-Aid off, own it. Like, I didn't. She had to pull all this stuff out of me. Like, I'm not the great communicator that I thought that I was, you know. Like, she had to pull all this information out of me based on a suspicion, like, and her feeling crazy for so long, and when it was all my fault. And so, you know, if you do have a problem, fucking be a man about it. Pull her aside and say, this is what's up. This is why I've been like this. This is a real thing. I want to educate you on this. Let's educate together and move through it together, you know, and really have that dialogue. It's going to be really uncomfortable. There's probably going to be a lot of pain and tears and all that stuff that comes out with it. But it's the, really the best thing that you can do. And I've actually got an article on Medium about seven things you can do when rebooting with a partner. And it kind of goes about, you know, like, for me, when I hurt somebody, my initial reaction is to overcompensate with, like, grand gestures and things like that. You don't want to do things like that.
Right. I think that, that's really powerful, and we'll definitely have that article in your blog link below here for people to kind of learn more about what you went through. I had a really interesting conversation a few days ago with a woman I met here that is in an open relationship.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah, we had a really intense, like, just open conversation about what it's been like for her, and she was just saying how she's been living with her boyfriend for 3 years, and they have this agreement basically that if they are interested or attracted and they have a connection with someone else, to pursue that. And I was just like, and you guys live together? Like, how does that work? Like, he might just not come home sometimes, you don't come home sometimes, and she's here in Bali, and, you know. And I was just, like, really interested in it because I have not really gone that route, as far as I've read a book called The Truth. I've mentioned it a few times on this podcast, by Neil Strauss, called The Unconventional Truth About Relationships. And he's the same guy that wrote The Game.
Oh, yeah. He turned out to be a crazy sex addict. I read The Game. That was part of my problem. I read that book.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I actually never read The Game, but I read The Truth. And that was just like this whole deep dive into sex addiction, polyamorous relationships, open relationships, cheating, just a barrage of just really relationship experimentation, basically. And so I've always been interested in learning more about those. And my ex-girlfriend, actually, that I'm going to be recording in a podcast with her about, she's from Poland, she's European, and she facilitates all these, like, Burning Man. She has a program, a workshop called Intimacy Fest, and she's been in an open marriage, and I want to actually learn more about what that looks like, because, like you said, the ego is a powerful thing, and if you know that your wife is out getting smashed by some dude in Burning Man,
sounds
or some
really bad. I mean,
yeah,
because as men, you know, it's like we like to kind of covet and possess and protect our you know, our family, our women, our children, all that stuff, and then you think about that, and it's really painful. But there's also an alternative to an open relationship. There's also swingers. I mean,
yeah,
that's something that I recently was learning about, just because you're taking two closed systems and creating one larger open system.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a tit for tat, and it's more like two couples double dating each other, in a sense. Also an interesting thing. So, yeah, I don't know about open relationships. I think that I'm definitely not wired that way.
Yeah. I mean, I have definitely not really had many long-term relationships. Like, it's just been, that's one thing that I feel that I've been very aware of my time span. I'll be with someone for a short period of time, and then, like you said, I get kind of bored, and then want to move on to the next one. And it's like this ongoing rotation of musical chairs. So is that the healthiest or the most wholesome thing? Who's to say? But at the same time, it's kind of funny, because I find myself sometimes envying my friends that I think are in healthy, happy relationships, and then I have conversations with them, and then find out to hear that they envy my lifestyle of more freedom and flexibility and dating and change. So it's kind of like we talked about at brunch today, like the grass is always greener.
Yeah.
And I think what's really powerful is when you get people together and have them share about their pros and cons of their situations, you realize that there's no perfect cookie cutter situation. No one is really 100% happy 100% of the time.
No. I mean, the only thing you can really do is just make what you have perfect. It's like, I mean, if you can remember when you were dating, if you are with somebody, you remember, like, the void, you know, and the void that you're always trying to fill up, and it doesn't. And it's something that we spoke about. It was along the lines of, like, sure, I could cycle people out, you know, every, you know, couple weeks or months or what have you, and there would be a certain level of fulfillment. But when you're with somebody long term, over the long game of that is you have an overall sense of gratification and satisfaction that is greater than the sum of all these different parts and pieces. You know, because there's a continuing story, you know. I mean, it really depends on the chemistry. I think a lot of people get together for the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. There's a Joe Rogan podcast where he talks about this, and he's talking about how when you hook up with a girl, you know, she becomes your drug dealer. Like,
oh, wow. That's an interesting perspective.
She gives you sex, and she becomes your drug dealer. So you're with her because you want that fix. You're not with her because you want anything about her. It was just a really interesting topic. I can't remember who he was interviewing, but it was a stand-up comic or something.
Yeah, that's a very interesting perspective that I haven't heard it put that way before, but there is definitely some truth to that. So we have touched on the porn addiction. We've touched on the relationship challenges. We've talked about the opening and different kind of structures around marriages or connections and sexuality. Is there anything else that we should kind of brush on here before we kind of close up? Anything that you want to kind of personally resources? Yeah. I'll actually share something I just remembered, actually. I shared this on Monday night at the men's group meeting when this was brought up, that a number of years ago, I remember that I went to, when I was back in Canada, I went to a men's retreat. It was like a retreat for like, I think it was 2 days, mm-hmm. 1 or 2 days. And it was really, really powerful. There's probably about 300, no, probably more than that, probably about 500 men there. And they were bringing in all these speakers. And one of the speakers, his name was Matt Fraud, an Australian porn addiction specialist. And he was a very, very well-spoken guy about all the negative impacts that porn has on, like as you mentioned earlier, your mind, but also your relationship, that creates these unsustainable and unfulfillable fantasies that guys think that should be happening in their relationship, that obviously is just fake, you know, like it doesn't exist. So, but you're getting programmed to think that, hey, everyone else is having these crazy experiences. Yeah. But in reality, it's not. These are like paid professionals.
Yeah.
Like that's their job, you know, that's their job. And I think a lot of guys have insecurity around that when you do see a guy with like a monster dong, you know, like, and they're just like, oh, well, if I can't measure up to that, then my partner's not going to be satisfied or something. And there's a lot of talk about...
That's not true. I
mean, there was a lot of talk about men feeling kind of overwhelmed or insecure and just addicted to those dopamine hits. So I would suggest Matt Fraud, if people are wanting to kind of look into somebody who is, you know, working in the space of a porn addiction. That was really interesting. And then my personal experience when I stopped drinking a couple years ago, it wasn't hard at all, actually. It was quite an easy process. But I wanted to kind of find more people that were also not drinking. Mm-hmm. So I actually went to an AA meeting back in Vancouver. And that was really interesting because the whole premise of that was connecting with other people that were just not going out but not drinking. So that was interesting, which also led me, a lot of guys that were going to that meeting were also going to SAA, Sex Addiction yeah. Anonymous. So I went to a meetup for, I guess, sex addicts. And it was pretty interesting, just the variety of people and just guys and girls together sharing their struggles around either porn or sex or love addiction, codependency.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And that's like a huge thing that affects so many relationships that people aren't even really aware of the process with that. So I guess a good way to wrap this up is if you do see some patterns or acting out that you think is potentially problematic, that's hindering your mental or physical uncontrollability of, you know, just constantly going back to it like an addict, I guess, you know, there's resources there. So if you want to check out some support groups, you mentioned a few in the beginning of this, that yep. there is a lot of people in literature and books and so on. So it's just something that you shouldn't be ashamed of. And that's what I think is a big part of this. People feel ashamed around their sex or their love lives, but it's just something that everyone is kind of secretly going through on a similar level, on some level. So Yeah, man, I just gotta say, I really appreciate you coming out, and this is gonna hopefully help a lot of people and open up the door of the closet that not a lot of people are willing to enter or talk about. So
yeah, it's definitely a deeply personal thing, but when you see that there are many more people out there that you can that can relate to what you're going through, it really helps.
Yeah.
Especially just a YouTuber to mention, his name is Porn Reboot.
Okay.
And he does counseling specifically for men that are going through this.
Awesome.
And he's got some great videos. But
cool.
Yeah, just open up, get it out, and get it fixed.
That's that, guys. So I appreciate you, John. Thanks so much
for taking
the time. And that was just a very personal share. And I wish you and your fiance all the best with this new chapter. And that people watching, that you can sort out your own situation through some of the resources that we shared, and share this, you know, like, I'm sure that this is something that could definitely help other people. So if you got some value from this, go ahead, share it, subscribe to the channel here, and we'll see you guys on the next one for another interesting conversation on self-developed life. So until next episode, thanks a lot. Peace from Bali, and it's time to go hit the beach and hopefully not get triggered by the real life porn walking around everywhere, as you mentioned earlier. So
put the blinders on.
Yeah, put these on.
All right,
guys, see ya. Well, thanks so much for tuning in and listening to the end. Two quick things before you go. First, if you have not left a 5-star review or a review comment on iTunes, please, please, please go do that. It really helps us get ranked in the search engines, and just much appreciated. Thanks so much. And for doing that, I want to do something for you. Like I said in the beginning, I'm offering a free one-on-one coaching consulting call. So to claim that, just email me, quintoncarlin@gmail.com, and we can set something up to chat. I'm just here to support and give back to people who are wanting to implement these things that they're learning on these podcasts and level up their life. So go ahead, do that. Share this out. You know, tag me on Instagram, on Facebook. If you want to screenshot this episode, go ahead, share it. That would really, really mean the world to me. Absolutely. Have a great day and see you on the next episode.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.